Good morning to everyone here worshiping with us and everyone joining us on YouTube. I'm Lisa Vandenberg. I'm a deacon here at Church of the Advent, and it's my privilege to bring the word to you this morning. Please pray with me. Lord, may the meditations of my heart and the words of my lips be pleasing to you. May your Holy Spirit be at work in our hearts and souls through your word. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. What do you think of when you hear the word follow? What does it mean in our culture to follow someone? When I thought about the idea of following in our culture, I thought of social media. We follow people on Instagram and Twitter or TikTok. Following someone on Instagram doesn't mean that you're really invested in what they're doing or even that you know them. It just means that you're interested enough in them or the organization to look at their posts now and then. So that's not the following that Jesus is talking about. Our gospel passage deals with what it means to be a follower of Jesus. After spending a few years with Jesus and witnessing his miracles and teaching, the disciples believed that he was the Messiah. Their conviction is affirmed in Peter's famous confession in the passage just before this when he said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." But as most of you know, the disciples were expecting the Messiah to be a mighty conqueror, not a suffering servant. They were expecting someone who would overthrow the oppressive Roman rule that they were living under. The Messiah was expected to reestablish the nation of Israel under a godly king, a Messiah in the line of King David. So it was quite a shock when, instead of that great plan, Jesus announced he's going to go to Jerusalem and be killed. Peter tries to veto Jesus' plan, and Jesus corrects Peter quite harshly in verse 23, even calling him Satan. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Peter attempted to get in the way of Jesus' mission, much like Satan tempted Jesus with worldly powers in Matthew 4, and Jesus responded then, saying, "Get away from me, Satan." Jesus tells Peter that his mind is stuck on human things and human concerns rather than the concerns of God. And then he goes on to talk about what it really means to follow him. Being a follower means we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and really follow after him. Really following him requires giving up our lives, unlike following someone on Instagram. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in Germany just before World War II, when Christ calls a man or a woman, he bids him come and die. The Message Bible paraphrases our passage this way: "Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat, I am. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is really no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want, lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for?" That reminds me of when I was in college, I went to a Bible study where they talked about this self-directed life versus the Christ-directed life. If any of you have ever been to a campus crusade or crew Bible study in college, this may sound familiar to you. They even had cool pictures to explain it. There's two circles, each with a chair and an S and a cross. The circle is your life, The chair is the throne of your life where you make decisions. The S is self, and of course, the cross stands for Jesus. The Crew website describes the two circles like this. And the self-directed life, Jesus, is in the circle, but not on the throne. Self is on the throne. You're trying to live in your own strength, directing all the decisions and actions, and this often results in frustration and sometimes deep brokenness. The other circle represents the Christ-directed life, and Jesus is on the throne. Self is at the foot of the throne, yielding to Jesus. You see Jesus' influence and direction in your life because you are directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, full disclosure, when I first saw this and heard this, I didn't like it at all. I was a very worldly college student, and I thought, what? Jesus doesn't want to control our lives. He doesn't want a bunch of puppets. He gives us our lives to live as we want. However, a few years later, living the self-directed life wasn't working out so great for me, and I was frustrated and broken. I discovered the joy and relief of letting Jesus direct my life and really walking with him. A lady at my church at the time described it as accepting Jesus as Lord as your life, as well as your Savior. Now, this doesn't mean that I'm very good at it. Sometimes I feel like I vacillate between being an Instagram Jesus follower instead of a dying to self kind of follower. But I have found that God is so faithful. And the abundant life that he offers with him is so much better than running my own show. While it is very hard to give up control over our lives and die to self, I have hope that we can find some encouragement from the Lord as we dig into our scripture passage. So let's take a closer look. Before Jesus describes what it means to follow, he tells Peter that he's setting his mind on human things instead of divine things. This correction is a reminder to us to reorient our minds on the things of God instead of the things of the world as we consider the implications of following him. God has a lot to say to us through his word about our minds and what we think about. Here's a couple of examples. Romans 12:2 tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Philippians 4:8 tells us to think about things that are lovely and praiseworthy. And there's many other passages all throughout the Bible that talk to us about how we think. Now that Jesus has reminded his potential followers to set our minds on divine things, he then goes on to describe what it really means to follow him. If any want to become my followers, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? Now, the Greek word used here for life is psyche. So it's more than just our beating hearts and our lungs. It's all of our being. Now, why would anyone want to be a follower of Jesus? Note that he starts with this. If any want to become my followers, this is an invitation to follow him, not a command to follow him. So do we really want to follow Jesus? And why? No matter how long you've been following him, I think it's good to think of these questions. Think about what Jesus offers us in the Gospels. He promises rest for the weary, abundant life, forgiveness of sins, living water and bread of life, an eternal life, a place in heaven, unconditional love from the one who created the whole universe. Someone greater than ourselves, he offers us acceptance and help in this life by the Holy Spirit. Who wouldn't want these things? A pastor named Dan Meyer in Chicago puts it this way. When Jesus says, come dine with me, come experience my fulfillment, most of us are pleased to accept. When Christ says, come do life with me, experience the difference my companionship makes, Many of us are naturally intrigued. When Jesus says, come dance with me, come experience my joy, it seems like a good idea to follow him. But when Jesus says, come die with me, come take up a cross with me, come experience my death, there is something almost in all of us, and almost all of us, that cries out with the Apostle Peter, never, Lord. This reminds me of a fictional story of a mountain climber who was doing a big solo climb after years of preparation. One day passed and it began to get dark, and he did not stop to camp for the night but kept going. Night fell, there was no moon, clouds covered the stars, visibility was zero, and everything was black. As the climber neared a ridge about 100 meters from the top, he slipped and fell into the total darkness below. In those anguishing moments, when he was in free fall, memories flashed through his mind, both good and bad. He was certain he would die. But then a jolt stopped his fall. Like any sensible mountain climber, he had used pitons and a long rope tied to his harness to stake himself to the mountain. The top pitten held, and the rope broke his fall. He groped in the darkness for the side of the mountain, but it was out of reach. In the terrifying moments that followed, as he hung suspended, he cried out in desperation, help me, God, help me. Then he heard a voice from heaven, cut the rope. What? Cut the rope. But the man was afraid to deny his own sense of what he felt he should do and trust the Lord. More stillness followed, and as the man held all the tighter, he swung slowly back and forth, hoping in vain to make contact with the side of the mountain. Other climbers found him the next day, still hanging from the mountain, frozen to death, 2 feet above a wide ledge. Unseen by him, the ledge would have been a safe spot where he could have dropped, recovered, built a small fire for warmth, and camped for the night. In trying to save his life, he lost it. If he would have given up control over his life and denied his fear and lack of trust, he would have saved his life. Like the mountain climber, we may want Jesus and even realize that we desperately need his help. But are we willing to deny ourselves, our own agenda, and sense of what is supposed to happen to follow him? Can we let go of that rope of self-reliance? There are many ways that we could talk about denying ourselves and taking up our cross. As I prayed over our time together, I thought about the anxious times we're living in. When we're dealing with a global pandemic, racial injustice, social unrest that's resulting in the destruction of cities and lives, and a contentious election, and now the aftermath of a hurricane, what does it look like to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus on a daily basis? As I reflected on this, I thought about how a big part of denying ourselves is giving up ourselves, our sense of self-reliance and control over our lives. When we are feeling anxious or afraid or angry or sad because of our current circumstances, how do we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus? Instead of turning to unhealthy ways of coping with stress, I don't know about you, but 2020 has really brought to light all the little bad habits I have for coping with anxiety. Sometimes, instead of engaging with something like spiritual breathing, breathing in the peace of Jesus and breathing out my anxiety, inhaling his goodness, I inhale way too much chocolate. Instead of reading scripture or going for a walk, I spend too much time reading the news online. Sometimes denying ourselves to follow him means something big, like giving up a comfortable life to go overseas, or making some kind of monumental sacrifice, or turning away from some terrible sin in your life. Sometimes it means seeking help to overcome a destructive addiction, or denying the temptation to cheat on a spouse or embezzle money. Big things. But often, it is the daily offering of many small things like being kind to someone who is grumpy, loving someone in your life who is hard to love, forgiving hurts, and putting others before yourselves. We can deny ourselves with joy and peace because the Lord is with us, empowering us, even if it is hard. The point is not to do all the right things. The point is to walk in a relationship with a loving God who created the whole universe. We must remember that we do not deny ourselves in our own strength. That's kind of the point. Denying ourselves and dying to ourselves means that we give up our self-reliance and accept God's grace to help us. Following Jesus is not something that we do alone. We walk with him in the power of the Holy Spirit that he promised us. The passage on the fruits of the Spirit that we studied over the summer concludes this way: if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. We also have the strength of being in the community of the body of Christ. We walk with the Lord together. Recovering addicts know the importance of being real with a group of people who have a common burden and a common desire for sobriety. So we are not alone, and I praise God for the gift of the Holy Spirit and for our wonderful community. And I pray that we continue to encourage each other to follow Jesus together. So as we come to the table of the Lord, whether you're here with us or whether you're online joining us, I invite you to examine yourselves and consider if there's anything you're struggling with to deny yourself. I invite you to come and leave it at the altar by the power of the Holy Spirit as you receive the bread of life. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that invites us to follow with you. May your Holy Spirit empower us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you every day. Amen.